The U.S. House of Representatives Select Committee on January 6th is holding its first public hearings on the panel's 10-month investigation. Tune into the Shaw 101 FM at WAUK 540 AM for the broadcasting of the hearings live. The hearings will present previously unseen evidence from the Select Committee's investigation into the Capitol insurrection. Gavel-to-gavel coverage of the House Select Committee public hearings right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
For the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM, I'm Sam Butson with your headlines. On Tuesday, a state official cited fentanyl as a source of the increase of opioid deaths in Wisconsin, and curbing the use of the drug is a key goal as the state prepares to receive the first payment of at least $420 million in expected opioid settlement funds. This includes educating about the risk of counterfeit pills and even small amounts of fentanyl found in other drugs. Wisconsin had 1,387 opioid overdose deaths last year. Yesterday, Dane County Circuit Judge Frank Remington issued a scathing rebuke of former Supreme Justice Michael Gableman's behavior at his hearing last Friday in his order to fine Gableman $2,000 per day until he proves that he has provided all records requests related to his tax-funded review of the 2020 election. Sunny skies are in the forecast today with an expected high of 85 degrees. Winds up to 30 miles per hour with an overnight low of 60 degrees. You're listening to the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. On the line, Professor Bob Harvey, all the way from sunny Charlotte, North Carolina. And before we went to break, I was, Professor Harvey and I were talking about the fact that we have Republicans who are certainly going to be pushing towards taking control back of the House and the Senate, and I was asking him the questions about how that could possibly be, how people would be willing to vote against their own best interests, you know, in the face of all that we know Republicans stand for and what they've done, yet there are people who are still thinking that somehow if Republicans and when they take back over the House and the Senate, things are going to somehow get better for the average American. And Professor Harvey, you were saying before we went to break, these people clearly don't understand. Those rural farmers and others who have suffered mightily and their middle class dreams have been dashed, they somehow blame that on Democrats. You were saying what, sir?
Sure. I mean, like I said, I had Stephen Moore was constantly bashing Obama. You know, and that's what the Republicans are going to do. There are one or two Republicans who still believe that that Barack Obama should be impeached. Now, that's just damn stupid because he's no longer in office. And he has no interest in running for any public office. But Errol, this thing goes so much deeper, as I was saying, because, you know, you've got to look at what's happening at the local level as well. I mean, we're not paying enough attention to the states. The states are part of this problem, too. They carry huge economic debt in the whole bit, and naturally, their debt, they want the federal government to try to figure out a way to bail them out. And then you got a recalcitrant Congress, the House and the Senate, and you got a Supreme Court that sews it up. So even when the Republicans have been in power, they have created a mess that has a trickle-down effect. And no one, certainly Donald Trump or no one else, can be blamed for what happened with COVID, a worldwide pandemic that's killed millions of people and crippled everybody's economy. And a lot of this economic mess that we're in is because of, you know, those jobs and stuff that were lost. But, Errol, there's another enemy along with the Congress and along with the state governments that have gone conservative. The other danger is that they now have invoked this dictatorial attitude that they've had for a long time, but it's really manifested itself even more over the last 5 years since the appearance of Donald Trump. And it's a whole new philosophy of aggressive behavior that is going to destroy this country. Yes, it is true. You can't blame the economic mess of Donald Trump. A lot of that was fighting off COVID. Yes, that is true. And yes, one would also say that in a positive sense, when you look at what happened when Bill Clinton's administration, when he was the first president, I think, since Truman, someone to come up with a balanced budget, you can't do that without the Republicans being in charge, because they were checking his spending. And by the time Barack Obama left in 2017, the national debt, which had gone down to about $950 billion a year, because, you know, he had a John Boehner that was riding herd on him. And then, of course, when Mitch McConnell got in charge of the Senate in 2015, the same thing happened. So you look at what Biden is in for. When he when the Republicans take over, they will be taking over the House, you know, and they will be taking over the Senate. Even though the majority of American people, are lending towards a trend of either independent or they are what you call progressive or liberal. And we know that now, just looking at the numbers, but when you break them down by state, the conservatives control the states. Why? And it comes back down to looking at what I call racial politics again. And that racial politics is that the majority of white America, when you look at the census data, when you look at the census data and you look at the election return results for the last 40 years, the majority of white America has gone conservative, especially the white male. Now, the white women have pretty much, you know, tried to stay the course and be pretty much pro-Democrat or independent. But now, in the last election, in the 2020 election, it showed that the majority of them have also gone rogue. The white male has already been lost. They lost them in 1968 and 70. They lost them then. And elderly whites have been voting that way for years, voting conservative. The old saying of Arthur Schlesinger Jr. in his book New Viewpoints in American History, an intellectual social history that came out in the 1920s, Arthur Schlesinger Jr. Wrote in his book, "The radical of today becomes the conservative of tomorrow," meaning that as people get older, they have a tendency to become more conservative. And I've looked at that philosophy and believe that in many ways it is true. I've become more conservative of a lot of things, but I'm never going to lose sight of the fact of denying, you know, human rights and human justice, and that includes a right of a woman to choose and the right to vote. You know, and someone who's level-headed enough to believe that, yeah, I may feel a little safer with a weapon system in my home, but the simple fact is that if I had to give it up for the rest of the world to be safer, I will do it. So there are a lot of things that we need to look at when we start examining the economic crisis that we're in right now. There's so much to look at. And it's not just drive simple as the Republicans taking over Congress and everything is going to be rosy. It doesn't matter whether it's rosy or not. They're going to continue to get elected. And then they get them to act up, Earl. All of a sudden, in comes, you know, the Democrats to bail them out. And that's what happened with the situation when Pelosi finally took over the Congress 2 years into Donald Trump's administration. They immediately started trying to find ways of putting a stop to him. But he had so much momentum and power going, and Mitch McConnell controlled the Senate, that they were able to still accomplish things, because Donald Trump just ran roughshod over everybody and didn't get hardly any resistance. So the American people got a lot of work to do. But a lot of this, and I've always said this, that until the majority of white America, you know, see the danger of what they're flirting with right now, unless they see it, nothing is going to change because they make up 70% of the population or 69% of the population, and they make up 72% of the voting electorate. And with these suppressive laws, that number goes up slightly, up to about 75% of the electorate, you know, in an election. And the saving grace has been young whites between ages of 18 and 25. That group has consistently gone in favor of, you know, leaning towards the Democrats, their ideology, and looking after the welfare of the country. So that's where we are right now as a country. Yeah. We've got a very powerful population, the most powerful population in this country. That's white America, that electorate, and they've gone conservative.
You know,
and that's why you see all these turns.
You know, Professor Harvey, and so based on what you just said, which is factual, nobody can argue against those facts, because we clearly know that's what's at the root of it. And so there's unless they somehow come to the realization that, you know, Donald Trump and conservative politics aren't going to make things better for their lives. We're just headed in this situation, Professor Harvey, where we can't change it.
Well, you know, Earl, and that's the frustrating thing about it. But if you take a look at the numbers, when you look at places like that, like California and New York.
Professor Harvey, hang on a second. Yeah. We've got to go to a break.
Okay.
You're tuned into the Earl Ingham Show. We'll be right back.